what's the deal? But the father said to him, son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But it's fitting that we make merry and revel and celebrate, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Spiritually, this really illustrates why the statement in the first chapter of John, that while law was given through Moses, but grace, which means unearned, undeserved favor and spiritual blessing, and truth came through Jesus Christ, this illustrates why that statement is so important for us to understand. Because if all we understand, if our whole concept of God is that God is a lawgiver, a rule maker, well, the concept of God as law can too easily be twisted into the belief that if we play by our religion's rules and do our best to make sure everybody else has to also, we're going to be rewarded. But if we don't obey all of our religion's rules and make everybody else do likewise, well, we're all going to be punished. Which, if you think about it, is the exact opposite of what happens in the story, isn't it? The son that's the rule breaker, the son that goes out, he breaks all the rules, he's the one that gets the party. He's the one that gets the reward. And the goody two-shoes, the son that obeys all the rules, that's never done anything that his father didn't command him to do, he's the one that feels like he's left out in the cold. He's the one that feels unappreciated and unrewarded. I think the point here is divine love and grace aren't for sale. They aren't for sale. They aren't payment for religious obedience. Divine love and grace are gifts. They are unearned, even undeserved, favor and spiritual blessings from God. And anyway, what is the elder brother most upset about? The fact that the father had this big party for his brother? Or the fact that the father never threw a party for him? I mean, think about what he said. He says, you've never had a party for me, but you've had a party for my kid brother. Maybe that's what he's most upset about. And you know what? The world is full of people just like that elder brother, and at one time or another in our lives, most of us have been one of those people. People who feel hurt and unappreciated and resentful because, well, we've just bent over backwards for somebody. We've gone out of our way to put them first. And what do we get? They ignore us. They never call us. They never show any appreciation for us. They just take us for granted. It may be a parent or a child, a husband or a wife. But it seems like no matter how hard you try to please them, they never show any appreciation. It's just like they just sort of expect it, like it's your job somehow. What's that all about? Well, believe me, I understand that kind of hurt. I felt it myself. But if you try to think about it objectively, behaviorally, what other people are doing in those cases is often exactly what we have trained them to do. You know, if you think about it, if you always insist on putting the other person first, and I mean insist on it, and we often do, oh no, no, you have the last piece of pie. Oh no, I'll do it, just sit down and relax. Oh no, 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 let me take care of it. You've worked hard, you need to rest. If we're continually putting them first, what we're doing is conditioning them, just like Pavlov conditioned his dogs to put us last. And then we get upset about it when they do. I mean, if you are forever letting everybody else step ahead of you in line, don't complain, because all that's left when you get there is picked over, cold, and all the good stuff is gone. What do you expect? That's what's going to happen. And it's nobody's fault but our own. The golden rule says we should do unto others as we would have others do unto us. But that doesn't compel them to do likewise. And if we're doing unto them with that expectation in mind, well, we're probably going to be disappointed. If you want to receive, you have to ask. That's what Jesus said. You have to ask if you want to receive. If you want that piece of pie, don't say, oh no, you take it. Say, I'm going to have the last piece of pie. And they'll probably be okay with it. They'll probably be okay with it. But, well, actually, and I can only tell you this because Faye's not here. In my wife's family, well, she'd say the same thing. Nobody ever eats the last piece of pie. The last piece of pie gets thrown away, because it would be impolite to eat the last piece of pie. So you always end up throwing the last piece of cake, the last piece of pie, the last cookie away. In my family, if you didn't grab it fast enough, you might get your hand bit. Dinner was like a race. No, my Faye's family, they're just much more genteel. Oh no, you have the last piece. Oh no, you have the last piece. I still think it's silly, but I never eat the last piece myself anymore. Because, I don't know, I've been conditioned to do so. But I do still think it's kind of a waste of cookies and pie. You know, being polite in that way just means you don't get the cookie. What's the point? I don't understand. You have to ask to receive, Jesus said, and that includes appreciation. And if we're feeling unappreciated, well, chances are we've been asking for it. The great commandment is we're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves. Not more than ourselves, not better than we love ourselves, just the same way we love ourselves. In other words, we're supposed to see others and treat others, even if they're different, even if they act different or look different or talk different, or even if they worship different. We are supposed to see other people not as inferior or superior, but as our equals. That's the point. That's the point. And if putting someone else first leaves us feeling hurt and resentful, I think we've got to ask ourselves, well, why are we doing it? if we're genuinely doing it out of love and affection and generosity, we're probably not going to feel hurt. We're probably not going to feel hurt. When my grandchildren were little and I'd give them a present, that just made me feel good. And I didn't even expect to thank you because they were the little kids. Now that they're teenagers, I'm not always that sensible. But when they were little, I just was delighted to give them something. The gift was really that. And if our feelings are getting hurt, well, chances are it's because we're giving our gifts either out of a sense of superiority or inferiority. Either we're giving what we give to others out of a kind of superior attitude that too many people have when they give to charity, or when they look at someone else as a charity case. They're giving because, well, you know, I see that someone like you really isn't able to take care of yourself. You're not as competent or smart as I am, so I'll give you a handout. We give looking down our noses at somebody and then wonder why they resent us. Well, they are receiving the gift in exactly the spirit it was given. And more often I think we get upset for exactly the opposite reason. We give out of a sense of how inferior and inadequate and unlovable we are. You know, if we are doing unto others in an effort to make them like us, to make them appreciate us, what that's really saying is we don't think they do like us or appreciate us. We've got to change their minds, maybe give them a little bribe to get them to like or appreciate us. Well, that's not a very sound basis for our relationship. If we feel like we have to earn someone else's love, what that really means is we're feeling unworthy of that love. The truth is, we are never going to earn the respect of others until we have self-respect. And we're never going to be held in high esteem as long as we have a low sense of self-esteem. And self-respect and self-esteem are not gifts anyone else can give you. They are gifts that we can only give ourselves. We're loving our neighbors, but we're not loving ourselves. That's the problem. And we're the only ones that can fix it. The truth is, in God's eyes, you're no better than anyone else. And you know what else? No one else in this world is any better than you are. There is no one on earth that is better than you. That's pretty cool. That's a wonderful, wonderful truth to embrace. And we should love and appreciate ourselves just as much as we love and appreciate anyone else. And we should love and appreciate others just as much as we love and appreciate ourselves. But through it all, we should always remember that doesn't have anything really to do with God's love for us. God loves us all the same. Not because of what we do or have done, but because of who we are. Truly the sons and daughters of our divine Mother Father and joint heirs with Christ. Let's pray about this. And to center ourselves for our experience of God in prayer, let's know that God is real, God is here, and God is the one presence and one power at work in our lives. There is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God the good, omnipotent, together. There is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God the good, omnipotent, and so it is.